Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
She has spent her life devoted to issues of health and safety. For more than two decades in particular, she has focused on leading new safety culture change, managing environmental programs, and conducting regulatory compliance audits. She wants all of us to have better standards around air and water that surround us every day. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is the Director of Environmental, Occupational, Health and Safety for the Howard University Department of Public Safety, Ms. Susan Dreyer. Welcome.
Hi, glad to be here.
So you grew up in New Jersey in a fairly close-knit family, and it sounds like this whole idea of health and safety is in your DNA.
Yes, yes. My father's thesis at his master's degree program was what the new OSHA program was going to be doing to industry and how that would impact industry. So I think my family has learned about safety from the very, very beginning.
And your sister is also involved in...
In environmental. She's an environmental engineer in New Jersey, off the coast of New Jersey, and she does some underground sampling for gases that come from soils. Mm-hmm.
So what unique things that did your household experience as a result of all of this exposure around health and safety issues that probably in the typical American household?
That's funny you should ask. Yes, I can think instantly of being early adopters of helmets for bicycles and thinking, what was my dad thinking? He wants me to wear this crazy looking helmet. And now everyone is we just take it for granted that we all wear helmets
right,
when we ride bikes.
So in the Dreyer household, you're an early adopter.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's fantastic. Now, obviously, there's a lot around this industry that has formal education associated with it. And you obviously earned a bachelor's degree in environmental engineering and went on to get a master's in industrial hygiene at Hopkins with a thesis paper on passive air monitoring.
Yes.
Well, what is passive air monitoring?
Passive air monitoring, normally we take an active sample where we draw air through the filter. And passive air monitoring is where the filter is just present in the room and there's no air being drawn through the filter. And that is possible if we have something like a volatile organic that could attach to a carbon molecule. So that's usually used for places that have volatile organics.
So is that a truer sense, as it were, for lack of a better expression, of what really we're being exposed to in the air at any given time?
I think the idea of passive air monitoring could give us a portrait over time. So if you put some samples out and took some back over 1 week and then it took some more samples back out of the room over maybe 2 weeks later, then it would give you a portrait of how the emissions had dropped over time.
Understood. And as you look at the current environmental challenges, as well as obviously there's a lot of politics around climate change and how people may feel about it, what do you think are the burning issues for our society today as far as it pertains to air quality?
Oh, air quality. That's a good one. I like to see us burning a lot less fossil fuels and hopefully all the different new inventions they've come up with in terms of automobiles will really help the future. That would be great.
Your career has taken you across a wide variety of industries, starting with DuPont, a chemical industry. What about that assignment at DuPont really gave you an acute sense of what safety looks like?
DuPont really considers themselves the gold standard in terms of chemical industry safety. And what gave me a good idea of what that should look like is the fact that my role wasn't safety. My role was environmental engineering at that time. But because DuPont has such a high value on cultural safety within their industry, they pull everyone in. So even if you're an engineer designing the chemical plant, you have to understand your role in safety. And the operators understand their role in safety, as does everyone who works there. And so the idea that it's paramount and a value is some things that I'd like to bring here as well.
Yeah, and you've spoken a lot about in the past that your consultancy work with respect to engaging industry, that must be very different coming into an organization, regardless of whether safety is a priority or not, and having someone try to task you with evaluating whether or not it is and what they need to do to make it a priority. What about the consultancy is different and potentially difficult when you have had those types of assignments?
Consultancy, you get the chance to try to express why we need to value safety. And in those terms, you're approaching a different perspective. Sometimes you might be talking to the chemical industry or someone from the food science industry, somebody who's manufacturing drinks for children the other industries I worked on besides chemical industry was like the oil industry, for example. And so everybody comes at this concept of safety from a different perspective. A unique perspective for college campuses is not that we do or don't value safety. It's how to think of safety in our individual departments, but yet keep it as a constant throughout the entire campus. Since our individual departments sometimes on campuses get a little bit stovepiped, and we need to think of it more as a value for everyone.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Susan Dreyer. She is the Director of Environmental, Occupational Health and Safety for the Howard University Department of Public Safety. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So you're now with us. I'm sure you've had a chance, albeit just over a short period of time, to take an assessment, knowing what university campuses look like. What have you seen thus far, and what are you embarking upon doing to make our campus as safe as possible?
Yes, I'd like to say that there is a culture here of safety already in existence. Mm-hmm. So that's great. I have a place to start and I have something to work from. And also there's a culture of understanding environmental issues. And we just need to pair that a little bit more with some working together from different departments. For example, what we have for safety in facilities and what we have for safety in our departments, it's very similar and they're overlapping, and we just need to partner with one another.
And so as you look at, I guess, the commitment, as it were, from the rank and file, what is your sense of that commitment to safety?
I think one thing people tend to do is prioritize safety, especially if you're looking at a project management system. People say we have lots of priorities. We have quality as a priority. We have schedule as a priority, and we have safety as a priority. And when you say it in those terms, then you can say, well, today our priority is schedule. And so I'd like to use the terminology value, and that way safety is always and ever present, and then we can prioritize schedule or quality or budget. So
now, this is a complex environment where you have a hospital, you have people doing research in laboratories, etc. And so I view our environmental safety as a very complicated problem.
Most definitely.
With that in mind, when you think of prioritization and you think of risk, which I'm always trying to mitigate, do some of those pose individual challenges that are difficult to overcome?
Individual challenges, I would say, come from the locations where we have laboratories and principal investigators. So we have to make sure that our principal investigators are trained on what our expectations are and also what industry is expecting once they graduate. Some of our principal investigators might be students themselves and they haven't had a chance to see industry. So it would be nice to bring industry in and partner with them and identify how we can make sure that our graduates are ready to meet the world when they get out.
And one part of this obviously being putting in protections from harm, but another part would be promoting good health and good environmental health.
Oh, definitely.
And when you look at that aspect of this issue, what do you see in our future as you lay that plan out?
Well, I think a big portion is calibrating everyone on what a risk is so that our students and our teachers and also our principal investigators can look at things and question, is this a risk? Is this a risk we're willing to live with? And if it's not, what steps can we use to mitigate the hazards?
Now, given the wet summer we've had, are there particular risks that we may face this coming academic year that may have us with some challenges? Is there a greater likelihood, for instance, of mold?
There has been some likelihood of mold, and I'm sure everyone has probably experienced that, not only here at the campus, but also at home as well. I know I have. And so a good thing for us to focus on is what are our biggest risks? Do we have enough air circulation or the number of air turnovers in a particular space, is that enough? And if it isn't, how can we get that changed out? And also just listening to the folks when they do have an issue and making sure that we can get to them and hear what their concerns are.
How complicated is it for testing for mold?
Well, mold testing is extremely complicated because there is no standard. There is not anything that we can point to and say, if we have a 5, then 5 is safe. And we can in other types of hazards or risks. So if somebody had carbon monoxide, for example, at 5 parts per million, we could say whether that was risky or not. If we have a certain number of spore counts for mold, we can't say this is safe. And another complicating factor is that mold is ubiquitous in the atmosphere. If we go outside and we test for mold in the parking lot or even on a summer day and on the beach, we would certainly find a number of spore counts in our sample. And so what level is safe? We are going to definitely, yes, find something, but we can't say whether this thing we found is safe or not. So that's definitely a complication. OSHA doesn't have a standard by which we can judge.
And how difficult is mold remediation when it is found?
Mold remediation isn't too hard if we can identify the source of the water and the source of what the infiltration is and keep that clean and stop that from happening. If we have a situation where we don't know where the water is coming from, that gets a little bit more complicated. But the answer really is not necessarily to sample. In fact, sometimes we can skip the step of sampling if we see visible mold and we can go right to the remediation step. And anything that has a porous nature to it, so drywall or carpets or drop ceilings, if it's a porous nature, then we can change that out and remove it and just start fresh and clean.
So as we begin to wrap up, what are some of the proactive things you would like the campus community to be adopting as they go forth in their day-to-day that would ensure that everybody is healthy and safe as far as it pertains to the environment?
Oh, that's great. Yes, I'd like everyone to consider safety as a value and that it's overriding everything and that we want here at Howard to have world-class safety in our laboratories and in our facilities.
Excellent. Well, it's a pleasure having you on board. We intend to have the safest campus in the United States, and so we certainly need your assistance to ensure that that is the case.
Excellent.
Thank you for all that you do. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Susan Dreyer. She is the Director of Environmental, Occupational Health and Safety for the Howard University Department of Public Safety. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
This is Harold Fisher. The Daily Drum is more than news, sports, and weather. It's information, conversation, edification. I talk to the newsmakers and other great guests that make you think. You're not just listening. You are part of the process with your phone calls. You can find me on Facebook/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Join me, Harold Fisher, from 7 to 7:30 p.m. for the Daily Drum on 96.3 WHUR, the Adult Mix.